realize that you haven't held it, touched it, smelled it, or seen it. So you are waiting for something that you have not seen that is not there yet.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio, and my name is Joshua Halyk. I'm your host today with Pastor Mark Job, senior pastor and author at New Life Community Church. This message today is, I believe, going to speak, Pastor Mark, to some people in a very relevant, real way. I just spoke to a young lady this week. She said, you know, I've been saving myself for marriage. I've been seeking to honor God and do love God's way. And I see all of my friends around me, some of them making major compromises, and they're all getting married. And I'm wondering if I'm doing things wrong. You think this message might apply to her?
Hey, I think it will. You know what? That's called a shortcut. And all of us, while we are waiting in this difficult waiting room for the promises of God, are tempted to exit the waiting room through the wrong door. Abraham, the father of faith, in this message, you're going to see how he's waiting for the promise, but it's not coming to him. So he's tempted and actually falls in the temptation of a shortcut, and it creates actually a mess in his life.
Yeah, I mean, we need to take action in life, but sometimes we take the action God should be taking, and Abraham does that, right? He goes out, he says, I'm supposed to be a father of a great nation. Well, it's not happening with my wife. Maybe there's another way.
Absolutely, and we all can empathize with Abraham because we've all wanted to do it that way, whether it's a young man that's really wanting to get married and has the dream of being a father of a family, but just starts to compromise with who he's dating or who he's going out with and kind of justifying it, or the person that wants to buy a house and they believe that that would be best for them, but starts to kind of cheat on the job to be able to save up that money, whatever it may be. Someone that wants to fit in and they've never had a friend, finally they find a friend, but they have to really compromise their lifestyle to sustain that friend. I mean, we're always going to be tested. Mm.
And this is a message really about the fact that God can be trusted. While you wait, may this message be an encouragement to you. We're in Genesis chapter 16. Let's get right into the Word.
I hope that you're always learning about worship, something new about worship. That you're never stagnant, but that you're always learning something new. I learned something new this week about worship. I'm growing too. I was on the treadmill this week, and I had my iPod on. I was listening to this vibrant worship music. I was getting into it. I was running, getting into it. And so I closed my eyes for a second like this. And then I opened them. I said, hey, I bet you I could close my eyes and worship. I was getting so into it. So I was running on the treadmill. I closed my eyes. I learned, never close your eyes in the treadmill. Because next thing you know, I didn't know if it was the Spirit of God knocking me down. I think I just lost my balance. Next thing I know, I'm at the health club on my back. My legs are in the air, and I fell totally off the treadmill. Like a typical man, I jumped up real fast, got on like nothing had happened. Hoping that the people next to me weren't looking at me. I didn't even want to look behind me to see what they were thinking. I just got back on and started going to town. So don't close your eyes when you're worshiping on the treadmill. Don't raise your hands and close your eyes in the car when you're driving to worship. Please don't do that either, because that could be bad. So we're always learning something about worship. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about faith. Everything good that comes from God comes via faith, and we have been looking at Abraham's life, Mr. Faith, the father of faith, in our series entitled Don't Stop Believing, the Power of Relentless Faith. And in Genesis chapter 16, we will take a look at how to keep up our faith while we wait. Here's the thing I want you to understand about faith. There is no such thing as faith without waiting. The nature of faith is that you have to wait. Because faith implies that you haven't held it, touched it, smelled it, or seen it. So you are waiting for something that you have not seen that is not there yet. There is no faith without waiting. So if you are an impatient person and you ask God to increase your faith, you're going to be challenged in your patience. And here we find Abraham in chapter 16 of Genesis. His faith is being tested. I have a list of things that I pray for over each of my family members. I list all their names, and I have myself on that list, and there are weaknesses and strengths that I pray for on a regular basis for each of my family members. My wife is there, and my daughter and my two sons, and I pray over areas that God is working in their lives. You want to hear my wife's weaknesses? Just kidding. No, I'm not going to tell you. But one of the areas that I am working on in my life that I pray for is the area of patience. I like things to happen now. And I like things to happen fast. And I don't like to wait for a train. In fact, I would rather drive a half a mile out of the way than sit there and wait. And I don't like to be in a grocery line when someone has 15 coupons in front of me. I kind of want to say, here, I'll give you money for those coupons. Let me out of this line. And it's not a virtue. It's something that God is working on my life. And here's what I know, that every time that God is going to grow our faith, he also grows our patience. Because we always have to wait. And there is something in the spiritual realm that I like to call the waiting room. That every time you're believing God for something, you have to spend time in the waiting room before God opens up the door of answered prayer and you can get out of that waiting room. Genesis chapter 16, Abram finds himself having waited a long time and he's getting impatient. In fact, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans and he told him, I want you to go to this land that I've promised you. He didn't know where it was. He didn't know how long it would take him to get there. But God said, I'm going to take you to a land, and I'm going to make you a father of a great nation. God promised Abraham, once he reached the land of Cana, when he was 75 years old, I will make you a father of a great nation. And Sarah heard this promise, his wife. And I'm sure that they went out the next day and thought, great, we're going to have a child. A couple months later, expecting, maybe Sarah thought, I think I'm pregnant now. No, another false pregnancy. And 1 year went by, and 2 years went by, and 5 years went by. And they're in the waiting room. They're getting impatient. God, when are you going to answer the prayer? 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 years go by. Now they're a decade after the promise. 10 years. He was 75. Now he's 85. Sarah's 75 years old. They're getting to the point where they're saying, what's up, God? I mean, did we hear this right? Did we miss something? I mean, I thought God promised us that we were going to have children, but yet it's not happening. In the waiting room, funny things happen in your mind. You start doubting the things that you knew for sure in the light. You start looking at the doors of escape and wondering, maybe you can go through a door that in the past you thought, no, that's not the right door. But you start thinking, well, maybe it is the right door. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Now, do you remember who Hagar was? Hagar was the Egyptian servant that Abraham had picked up in Egypt. He had decided to compromise. He'd gone down to Egypt. He'd lied. And the Bible tells us that he picked up a few servants in Egypt. And so he had this servant named Hagar that he had picked up in the land of compromise. So Sarah basically tells Abraham, hey, God's not fulfilling his deal, so I have an idea. Never try to fulfill in the power of the flesh that which God has promised you in the power of the Spirit. Sarah said, I have an idea. Listen, I can't have a child. It doesn't seem to be working, but hey, here's my young maidservant. How about if I give her to you and you have a baby with her? Maybe that's God's plan. Abraham said, okay. It says, Abraham agreed to what Sarah said, verse 3. So after Abraham had been living in Cana 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with her, and she conceived. Now, if you're in the waiting room right now, and your faith is being tested, I want you to understand that there's four things you need to know to survive the waiting room. Number one, I want you to remember that your God-given destiny is never highlighted, bolded, underline it, never secured through the shortcut of disobedience. You see, Sarah blames God for her problem. God, listen to what she says, the Lord has kept me from having children. She doesn't say, well, God is going to come through in the end. She says, it's God's fault that I'm not having a baby right now. So God hasn't followed through on his end of the bargain. And so she decides to come up with a flesh plan to secure a spiritual destiny. Notice what it tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 and 23. The Apostle Paul, speaking of Abraham's decision, says this, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bond woman, which was Hagar, and one by the free woman, which is Sarah. But the son by the bond woman was born according to the flesh. And the son by the free woman was born through the promise. You see, he's talking to us in this passage about the flesh and the spirit. And I'm not talking about flesh and blood flesh. I'm talking about carnality. Carnal nature is opposed to the spiritual nature. And oftentimes we try to do spiritual things in a carnal way, and it always backfires on us. Always.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called How to Keep Up Your Faith While You Wait, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as the entire series and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark as we continue our message called How to Keep Up Your Faith While You Wait.
Oftentimes, we like to take shortcuts because we're tired of waiting and we think we can get there in a quicker way. For example, someone may say, I'm in college. I believe that God has a calling on my life. Hey, and I'm going to be a teacher. And I'm going to teach in tough neighborhoods in Chicago because I feel like God has a calling on my life to minister and reach out to children in tough neighborhoods and educate them. Hey, that's a dream. That's a good dream. But the person says, you know what? I'm taking this advanced algebra course. And in order to fulfill my dream, I have to pass this advanced algebra, and I'm not very good at algebra. So, God, I think, would understand if I cheat, wouldn't he? I mean, after all, God's given me this vision and this dream, and what is a little help on my exam? I mean, just a little paper up my sleeve. I won't use it unless I need to. But, you know, I have a dream, I have a vision, and I think God would understand if I take this little shortcut to my destiny. Or how about the person that's looking for a job and he says, hey, I have a family to support, right? And it's God's will that I provide for my family. It's God's will that I supply their needs. I mean, the Bible says that if a man does not meet the needs of his family, doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. And I have a job application, but if I'm honest on my job application, I know they're not going to hire me. So what if I tweak the truth? I just leave a few things out, add a few things here. I mean, after all, isn't it God's will that I have a job? Isn't it God's will that I provide for my family? So who's it going to hurt by lying on my application? I mean, is it really that bad? Is it God understands, right? Let me take this shortcut. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just nod your head. Boy, it's easy, isn't it? Abraham was facing the same kind of situation. He knew that God had called him to be a father of a great nation, and it didn't seem to be happening, so he decided he was going to help God out a little bit. The second point I want you to remember when you're in your waiting room is this. Understand that spiritual shortcuts solve the immediate problem, but create a long-term mess. Notice what it says here. And when she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. When Hagar became pregnant, she began to despise Sarah. Now, it's interesting to me that God would allow Hagar to become pregnant. I mean, after all, Sarah had been trying to get pregnant for 10 years and was unable. It seems like after a very short time, Hagar got pregnant quickly. Doesn't it seem like it would be natural that God would block the flesh decision? Here's what I want you to know about shortcuts. Shortcuts always seem to work immediately, but in the long term, they create a big mess. I mean, don't you think that after Hagar got pregnant and she came back and she said, "Hey, I missed my 3 periods, I'm pregnant." Don't you think that Sarai would have said, "Yeah, it worked." Don't you think that Abraham would have said, "Hey, it worked." And so everybody's happy because it worked. She's pregnant. We've been praying. Thank you, God. Oh, you've answered our prayer. Hey, Sarah, great idea. I should have listened to you sooner. It looks like God was blessing their mess. But let me tell you, yeah, that person may pass that algebra exam with a passing grade, but in the end, there's long-term consequences. You see, it always, the shortcut seems to work immediately. It seems to solve the problem right now. Hey, if I lie, I'm going to get out of this situation. It'll solve the problem, but it creates bigger problems in the long run. Look at what happened here. The Bible tells us that he slept, in verse 4, he slept with Hagar and she conceived. But when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress Sarah. Uh-oh, the problems are starting. Hey, it was a short-lived celebration, but now Hagar's pregnant. She's the younger wife. She's looking at the 75-year-old non-barren woman, and she starts saying, "Hey, I'm pregnant now. I'm the favorite. I'm going to have his baby, and you're not. And I think I deserve better privileges." And now she's despising Sarah. She's looking down at Sarah. She's thinking, now I have my privilege. Now the tension's starting. Pretty soon these two women are like cats and dogs at each other. Abraham's in the middle of it. And guess what? The series of consequences to their compromise has just begun. And you say, "Well, hey, were the consequences that bad?" Yeah, they were that bad. Oftentimes we look for short-term solutions and end up creating bigger problems. It's like that flat that you have in your car and you get this spray stuff, the foam stuff to fix it. You say, "I got a flat. Hey, I got a foam thing. Psh, fill it up." And then you forget about it, right? Well, it's only meant to last a short time. And you got a big problem on your hand. We got a bunch of people in here, a bunch of guys that think they're mechanics. You open up the hood, lean on it, look at it. Your wife says, "So, do you know how to fix it?" "Oh, yeah, I think I know how. It's probably, you know, don't worry, honey. You don't know about these things. I do." And so you rig it up. Little duct tape here, little string there. Little extra part you have in the garage. And you know what? It seems to work for a little bit. But you know that if you put the wrong part or a temporary solution, that ultimately you can cause greater damage, and the problem that was only supposed to cost $200 now is going to cost you $2,000 because you provided a short-term solution for a major problem. Sarah was experiencing the same thing. In fact, let me tell you this. If you don't think that Abraham's compromise caused a long-term problem, let me just bring it to home. A couple months ago when you went to the gas station and the prices were so high and you paid $3 for gas, let me tell you, you know whose fault that was? Abraham's. Say, well, why Abraham's? Hey, you know what? When Tina Estrada was for 9 or 10 months or whatever on her own trying to raise her kids while her husband was in Iraq over there, you know whose problem, you know whose fault that was? Abraham's. When Phil Flores was serving in the military and he had to be overseas in Italy and Christina was here on her own trying to take care of her kids, you know whose fault that was? Abraham's. You say, well, I don't understand. Well, because Abraham had two sons. He had the son through Hagar, and that son's name was Ishmael. Through Ishmael, all the Arab nations came. Ishmael was the father of a great nation. All the Arab nations came through Ishmael. Through Isaac, the second son, who was born 13 years later, the Jewish nation came. And the Lord predicted to Hagar and gave a prophecy and said, Ishmael will always fight with his brother. There will be tension and there will be enmity and there will be fighting between Ishmael and his brothers forever. It'll go on and on. And right now the Arab nations and the Israel nations are fighting and we've got caught in the middle of it. So Abraham's compromise has caused a lot of the problems like 9/11 that we're experiencing today. And you thought that it doesn't have consequences? It's a couple thousand years later, we're still living the consequences of Abraham's compromise. And some of you are making decisions right now, today, that will affect your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren because you're looking for a short-term solution, but it may have long-term effects on the people after you. Someone says, for example, you have a young gal that is feeling very lonely and is feeling depressed and is feeling like she needs to belong. And so there's some young, suave gentleman that promises her a little bit of love. And so she looks for a short-term solution to solve a long-term issue. And so she finds herself involved in sexual activity with him. And then she goes to the doctor one day and realizes that she's contracted a sexually transmitted disease and has to live with it for the rest of her life. You realize that 1 out of every 4 Americans has an STD because there was a fast solution, looking for a fast solution for a long-term issue. The Bible tells us that Abraham compromised and it affected Sarah immediately. And she began to live with those consequences. During the Olympics, there's always this buzz about steroids. These athletes want to enhance their performance, and they want to have that edge. And a few years ago, the fastest man alive, it was reported, was Ben Johnson. And all that we remember about Ben Johnson is that he won the 100-yard meter, but in an effort to beat Carl Lewis, they discovered that he had steroids in his body. And so now the main thing we remember is that he was disqualified because of steroids. You see, he was looking for a shortcut to the victory, and it affected his entire career, came to a crash. Spiritually, many of us are in the waiting room facing issues and problems, and our flesh is always looking to escape the waiting room through the shortcut of disobedience. In fact, it leads me to my third point. I want you to write this down. Keep in mind, if you're in the waiting room also, keep in mind that you are responsible for your actions regardless of who pressured you into it.
We've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's message called How to Keep Up Your Faith While You Wait. Tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half as we continue our series, Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. We hope that you've enjoyed today's broadcast, and we ask that you join us again for another edition of Straight Talk. Have a great night. God bless.